Hello, friends of Essential Aromatica. I'm your host, Amy Anthony of, you guessed it, NYC Aromatica. Welcome back, and welcome to another Spotlight on Aromatherapy. This episode features Renee Hughes, creator of the Mood Makeover Method and the fabulous company called The Aroma Specialists. And I just have to say, time totally flew by during our conversation. I'm excited for you to listen and glean the many golden nuggets in this holistic business conversation. Renee is a trailblazing six-figure aromatherapist and business mentor who has shattered the myth that success in the clinical holistic industry requires endless hours and burnout. With a part-time approach, Renee has not only achieved remarkable financial success, but has also supported hundreds of practitioners through her masterclasses and workshops. Renee understands the challenges that many clinical holistic businesses face, feeling overwhelmed, overworked, and unsure of how to effectively communicate their value. And yes, folks, we have value with a big capital V. And that's why she is dedicated to showing entrepreneurs that a thriving business and personal well-being can coexist harmoniously. With Renee as your guide, you'll learn how to connect to your speaking superpowers and craft compelling, magnetic messages that resonate with your ideal clients. Say goodbye to the stress of constant hustling and a hello to a more balanced, profitable, and fulfilling clinical holistic business. Check out the episode notes for all the links, but be sure to visit thearomaspecialists.com and look forward to Renee's upcoming client attraction clinic and look forward to the Aroma Specialists' herbs and oils experience. So without further ado, here is Renee Hughes. Oh, hello, Renee. Thank you so much for joining me today on Essential Aromatica.
Thank you for having me, Amy. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, that's awesome. I loved connecting with you recently and learning that you lived in New York City at one time. And I feel like we might have passed each other on the street, you know, back in the day without knowing it, back in Brooklyn.
We were there the same time, the same years, in the same type communities. It's bizarre. Yeah, I feel like we probably did pass each other.
Yeah. Before we get into the meat of the topic, I'll just jump right in because I was just going to wax about when I lived on Bergen Street. I go to the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens, and that was my place of refuge just to connect with nature. Yeah. And well, actually, I'll ask you that, and then we'll jump into introducing you. When you've lived around, like how do you, or is connecting to nature important with you? I know you live in Jamaica, which is awesome. Like, just if you could touch on that, like living in an urban area, did you find you had to balance that out with trips to nature?
Yeah, you know, at the time, it is important to me, and it's always been important. But over the years, it's gotten to be more important because I came to understand the connection between my physical and emotional health and being connected to nature. And those gardens that you're talking about, we did go there. Some friends and I, we would go. But at the time, you know, I was in my 20s, and it was just like we were more in interested in dancing and where was the next go dance and, you know, those things. But we, you know, we would have our little nature trips too. And it was a little bit more of a challenge in that area. But I also had those friends who, like, they were growing their own spices and right there, you know, on their little verandas and things. So I've always loved it and always felt drawn to it. But it wasn't until later years that I feel like I really got the point.
I love that. And thanks. That's a great segue into my question is what drew you to aromatherapy? I believe it's quite a healing journey for many people. And I think that's part of your journey, right?
Absolutely. So as a young person, I was always sickly, you know, just always had stomach issues, just very weak, lethargic. My parents would run me back and forth to doctors and they would say, oh, she's fine. There's nothing, you know, she's just a nervous kid. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I had nothing. And then when I got to be about 20, a mentor of mine introduced me to natural remedies and plant-based remedies, which included essential oils and supplements and essences and all these things. And I started to feel human. I started to feel normal. And that was around the time after that that I moved to New York. And I just had a blast, you know, and I felt the best ever. And it wasn't just because I was in my 20s, because in my teenage years I was sick all the time and preteens, you know, all that thing. So it was really living differently. But then I fell off the radar and I just started eating everything and not taking care of my body and not using the oils and not bringing plants into my world. And I got sick again. And it was in my early 30s where I was just like, I've got to go back. I've got to figure this out. And I started going to a naturopath. I went to an acupuncturist, and I just reintroduced herbs and oils into my life and into my body. And it made a huge difference. I started to feel better. I started to balance out. I did have to have a surgery, but my healing from that, physically, mentally, emotionally, all was just dramatically impacted by oils. And plants. I like to just say it's all across. It's not just the oils. And so fast forward, I decided I wanted to learn more and to really understand why they work so well, and went back to school and then decided to jump in for business as well.
Thank you for sharing that, because I found that when I started to seriously study aromatherapy, and I started in 2012, even before that, but the people I've met along the way have come from a place of healing, some crisis, be it personal or family. So thank you for sharing that, because I think when people hear our stories, they realize oh wow. Because to me, knowing you and the brief time we've met, you just seem so vibrant and vivacious. And then for you to share, I was a sickly kid, and it's powerful to know that there's these tools we can turn to, like acupuncture, aromatherapy, and the greater good, just being aware of plants.
Yes, it is. It's pretty amazing. And I think too, what happens is we keep reminding ourselves. I don't know if you've had this experience or others have, but whenever I'm not doing it, because I do fall off. Like I don't know if other people have that, but I don't always use them. I even get into a phase where I'm using them allopathically. Just, oh, I have a headache, let me use it. Oh, you know, I've got a stomach ache, let me use it. But when I use it on a regular basis, is when it really makes a difference. And I keep proving to myself over and over again, hey, this wasn't just a whim. Like this is what where your energy and your well-being really sits, and using these things and have them in your body on a regular basis.
I love that. And I'm one, if you people that listen to this podcast, I admit all the time I fall down. We all fall down. Who's perfect? I don't know. But you just said something that I have to remind myself of. We can think of, yes, the allopathic way, this is good for that, I have a headache. And a lot of aromatherapy is treated that way. But what you just shared really hones in on how things can be ritualistic, which bring in the holism of maybe it is just smelling jasmine oil mindfully for a minute. That can go a long way, I think, in having that the ritual to things, and loving the beauty of that.
I agree. I agree. Yeah, there's something to be said for that habitual routine that you consistently go to and that your body responds to.
I love it. And I'll get to my next question in a second, but part of it to me, and I don't, I feel like for you, it's the oils and the plants are in my life every day. I could be blending for a client, I'm trying something out. They're in my life every day. So in that, in and of itself, I'm always surrounded by these molecules. So I haven't been sick, with a respiratory, virus or in years, because I'm always around this stuff. And I just find it fascinating, but I don't know.
I do too. You know what's funny? I have to pick up on that. I this whole the whole time during there's so much respiratory stuff going on right now, right? And same, me and my family, we rarely get it, but we have had our bout. I have had COVID once in all these years that it's been around. And I really think it part of it was just me not being in my routine, and not having it like in my system for protection. That's my thought and belief on it, at least.
Yeah, I support that, and I just want to bring up a point, and then I want to feature the aroma specialist. You bring up that point, the classic herbalist and other training, that when the terrain is weak and you let the little door open, the virus or whatever comes in. But if you support the body, mind, spirit, you create this wholeness where you could say the pathogen doesn't have a chance to penetrate.
I agree. I agree.
So the aroma specialists, this is a company that you started, and I've been aware of you for some time. We kind of lurk, see each other on LinkedIn and stuff like that, in social media. And I'd love for you to share with myself, of course, and the listeners, more about the aroma specialists and your vision behind it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's funny. I have to say this first. Yeah, it's funny how you certain people you just feel drawn to. And I have seen you like on social media and different places. And I'm like, man, I'd love to get to know her. But the time. So I was so glad that, one of my team members reached out and we finally got to talk to one another. And sure enough, that first conversation was so awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, so now is the time.
That was the time. So, aroma specialist. So, what was really funny is when I started the company, I wanted a name that associated with aromatherapy, but I, of course, I didn't want to say the aromatherapist, and I wasn't certified at the time when I started the business. I was still in school, so I said to myself, "Well, I want to, be associated with it, but not actually say because I couldn't say that I didn't believe you can say you're an aromatherapist unless you were certified." So that's where the aroma specialist, that's where the name came from. But the business came about because as I was learning, I was already certified as a natural health consultant. And when you go to school for that, it's one of those schools where they teach you everything. So there were all these different avenues. There was, nutrition, there was supplements, there was movement, all the different pillars of health. And being someone who understood business, I knew that I needed to specialize. I wanted to go in one particular area. And I remember the section on aromatherapy. And I just kind of really felt so drawn to it. I remembered years past when I had used aromatherapy, how beneficial it had been to me over my life whenever I would pick it up. So when I finished that course, I went into to become certified as an aromatherapist. And so I was like, yeah, this is the direction that I want to go in. And I it started out so I'm one I always tell people when they're starting in business when they're in school actually is start your business then when you're working with your case study participants. I want them to start thinking about how they're going to focus, what they're going to do while they're still in school. And I did that, and it was such a benefit because my case study participants ended up becoming my first clients. And initially I was working with people with chronic illness, endometriosis, because I have that, fibromyalgia, sickle cell anemia. My brother has suffers with that. He passed away a couple of months ago, but that was what I was doing. I was helping people manage pain. And then this incredible thing happened. It kind of converged, which is how it happens, isn't it? So initially we started to realize that yes, they were getting, analgesic relief. That pain was really reducing. People were talking about not having as many hospital visits. It was profound. And I was taken aback by it. But even more than the physical relief was the emotional, the mental, the more control that they felt, the stronger that they felt emotionally, the less fear that they had around having to go to the hospital or even having the illness that they had. And the same for me. So I started to read more and more on, the effect of aromatherapy in the brain. I'm like, what's happening here? What is it that we why we feel this way? And exactly as I was doing that, I came upon like one of the worst emotional trials of my life. It was just a really difficult situation that I was in that I couldn't get unstuck from. I'm sure everybody can relate to going through a difficult, challenging time in life and you're trying to move through it and it's like walking through mud. I couldn't see through it. And then I said to myself, I need to use these tools. And I went towards them, and I really studied, and I really start practicing different things and playing with different blends and putting together a program really for myself to get me through that mud. Spiritually, I was well cared for, and that was helping me, but I needed something on physical and emotional to just make it whole. You know what I'm saying? So I did that, and that was when my first aromatherapy-based program came about, which was the Mood Makeover Method. And it turned out to be this program that really helped people get through emotional trials and challenges that were making them anxious, that was, attacking their self-esteem that they couldn't get through, really helped to repair relationships. And so that's when the aroma specialist really kind of made its debut, was through the Mood Makeover Method. And then as I moved forward with that, I still had that business bug. Because I was seeing so many of my colleagues floundering, with their business. Here I had this program that had just taken off. And then I would talk to some of my colleagues or people that I was in school with, and they hadn't even started yet. And I thought, I wonder if people could benefit from learning what I know about the business side. And so that's when I combined kind of the Mood Makeover Method with also teaching people about business, and that became what the aroma specialist is probably most known for.
Oh, what an awesome thing. And if I could piggyback on that, when I was teaching certification classes, no matter who came in, everyone would wonder, like, how, what's the business side of this? And everyone wants a roadmap, and there never really was one. You'd be told, like, look at what are massage therapists charging for a session? Or, and I appreciate your advice that you gave to look at the need to specialize and start thinking about your business before you're even certified. That's powerful, because we could use the words manifesting and all that, and but we want a roadmap, and I'd love your input on this. One thing I find exciting in aromatherapy in the United States is we get to do and make our own roadmap. But to your point, you need to know the business side. So you and I come from corporate backgrounds. I know how to look at accounting, P&L statements. I know the importance of marketing and all that. So to have that foundation is really important. So I want to be quiet here because I'd love to get your feedback, your thoughts.
Yeah, on the business side and why it's important from certification on.
Yeah, that and like, I guess I was a bit vague there. Like, people need a roadmap and they're asking for it. Students want it, but I feel many people don't have a roadmap. And I see you providing one, I think there's a real need. Like, there's a lot of aromatherapy schools out there and they don't really teach the business side. I guess that's what I'm saying.
I agree. Yeah, and even if they touch on it, it's not really working for people. Yeah, the roadmap, that's such a good question. I do work with my clients to kind of customize what I do with each one, but I will say there is a roadmap. There are certain things that you have to do across the board. And I would say the first one is realizing your gift. Like, what is it that you so we can all go to school and we're learning a lot of the same things. But as you're going through that process, you're going to feel something that you're very drawn to and that feels very natural to you. And a lot of it are things that you were doing even before you ever went to school.
Amen.
Yeah, it's just like it's just in you, it's just something you do. You're a coach, you're an educator, you're that soothing person, you're that person that lights a fire under people. Like, what is it that you've done your whole life? Think back to your role in the family. Think back to what you did in high school, and in college, and so on. And get acquainted and comfortable with what that gift is, because what I find is when you work within your zone of genius, we hear that a lot. But what that really just means is that it's the thing that comes natural to you that we feel like, well, you can't get paid for that. I mean, anybody can do that. But here's the thing, everybody can't do it because that's your gift. So that's why, you have to really come to understand what that is and then figure out, now, how can I take this thing and then incorporate it with this holistic care, this these herbal remedies or these oils. How do I want to combine the two to come up with a solid offer. And one of the phrases my clients probably get sick of hearing me say is, begin with the end in mind. I probably say that 10 times a week. Begin with the end in mind, meaning, and sometimes we get off that path or that road. And so I'll bring people back. And what that means is, what do you want people to remember about you? What do you want them to walk away with saying, feeling, having accomplished? What's your legacy going to be? Begin with that. So write that out. Visualize, what am I going to be? What will people's reviews say about me? 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, what will they have said about going through my school, taking my course, being coached by me, partnering with me? What will they say? That's going to help you to see what impact you're trying to bring. You can't make a program or an offer abstract. What will people buy? What's popular right now? I don't know. It's who you are, what's on the inside of you, your soul, that you're going to match along with these oils and put out there. And it could be something completely different. Now, yes, it also needs to be a need in the market. And that's kind of come in to balance it, because sometimes we can have a really profound idea, but we don't see the need, right? For consumers. So there has to be a need. And then we have to find the right messaging around it. Because if a person doesn't, maybe you have something that people need and they don't realize it. So some of it is creating awareness. Once you figure out what that thing is, but it really does start with that, beginning with the end in mind, finding your voice, creating something special, and then putting the right messaging behind it, doing that consistently. And then here's where a lot of people fall off, and even some of our clients, is volume. You still, because I've worked and I've grown my practice from really a small community. But the reason it's worked is because our messaging is so clear, and I'm so specific in who I want to work with, that it's that we survive and we do really well. But it is a lot of hard work, and you need to be talking to a lot of people about your business. And that does not mean on sales mode all the time. It means making people aware of who you are and what you do, that special thing that you figured out in the beginning. People need to know about it now. So you can't just keep it in this bubble. You can't keep it under a lampshade. You got to kind of go out there and let people know. And that means, doing speaking engagements. It means doing social media. We are by no means social media gurus, but we put our stuff out there. And, we speak and teach, do workshops. You've got to get the message out. So I think that's kind of one of the final pieces of that roadmap is volume. Because once you've got your foundation, you've got your messaging down, then you're going to need volume. And out of that volume, we think about the funnel that we always talk about. Out of that big volume of people hearing about you is going to come the other end, those special groups of people whose lives you will impact by working with you. And that's what we're really trying to accomplish. We want to make a living doing this, and you can, and you want to create impact. And so that what I just outlined is kind of the roadmap that we go by.
Thank you for sharing that, and I hope folks that are listening reach out to you because you're offering a very wonderful, I'll say service, but great messaging, great service, really professional too. And I always take notes when I listen to folks, and I think people don't get sick of you saying begin with the end in mind because I wrote down here blank page. There's almost nothing worse for me when I set out to write about something and I have the blank page. You get the writer's block and you have to start somewhere. So, like you said, what's the goal? And I'm not someone, I hate like 5-year goals, 10-year goals, because from the business perspective, I always think those are unrealistic, or I used to. But like you're sharing, what's that vision? Who are you? What's your special gift? Write it down. Some people are into vision boards, all that. Do it. And remind yourself of that every day. And if you love what you do, you're excited about it and you shine, right? But there's that whole, a lot of us are like, I'm starting with nothing. I don't know what to do. So you are giving really valuable advice. Begin with the end in mind. So thank you for that.
Welcome.
Yeah. There's so much. Oh my gosh. I have to just laugh at myself. I'm like, why not try podcasting? I'm always in the like, why not try that? And then I think I find I just spread myself a little too wide. And like you're saying, specialize, because there's nothing wrong with being a specialist. And just because you know a bunch of things doesn't mean you have to do all of them. And I always tell myself that.
I think that's the thing for a lot of us, because I feel like people in aromatherapy, we're part artist, part scientist, and that artist side of us, we want to do it all, and we really want to create a big impact. And the thing is that we're smart, so we could, we know a lot of things. The thing is, here's how I put it to help people to make sense of it. Because let me give you this first. When you're think about a vocalist, like those singer-songwriters, they hate being put in a box, you know? They don't like genres because it's like, you know, and their coaches will always tell them, you know, we think about those the voice and all those shows. They'll always tell them try to fit into a genre. But when you're an artist, you just want to sing. You just want to put your voice out there. You don't want to say I'm country, I'm R&B, I'm this. You just I don't know. It's what this is what I'm feeling right now. So this is what I want to express. On the other side, when you think about surgeons and gastroenterologists and cardiologists and those specialists, they also know internal medicine. They know the endocrine system. They know some about allergies. They've learned all those things. However, it's those specialists that earn the most and are valued the most. Why? It's not because that's the only thing that they know, but because they spend their time focused on that thing. When our heart is going, or somebody in our world, they're having a heart problem, we're not taking them to an internist. We're not taking them to a general practitioner. We're taking them to a cardiologist because they have specialized. So if we can think about it that way, yes, I'm an artist and I want to just express, and we can do that. But you want to also be known for something so that when this issue comes up for a person, rather it is the skin, it's the gut, it's the hair, it's the allergies, it's emotional health, it's anxiety, it's depression, it's knowing how to blend, it's knowing how to, in my case, knowing how to speak, knowing how to write a message. When that need comes up, who's going to come to mind? The generalist or the specialist? So that's how we need to wrap our minds around it, so that we don't feel, because sometimes it's really, this is something I've worked with people for years, and they really struggle. And it's because it's like, oh, but this person has a cold and I know what to do, and this person's got gut issues and I know what to do. And now all of that's fine. You're still going to be able to help multiple people, right? But you need to be known for something so that people, so that you can have that attraction benefit, that phenomenon that happened. And that's a tough one for people to get over.
I appreciate your sharing that, because that's something I think of a lot. And I wrote down express yourself through the specialty, because like you're saying, you could be so creative through your specific niche as well. And that creativity, that's what makes a brilliant surgeon. That's what makes I was just talking with someone about programming. I used to do computer programming back way back when. And I learned the most elegant thing to do is to try to make the most simple program with, you know, uses of variables and stuff. So simplicity and elegance go a very long way. And that could be done in through a specialty.
I
It's like
love
you're saying, we could know
that.
so much, right? But that yeah, this thank you. It's just so cool learning from you, being near you. Like I could listen to you for hours, so I could see your gift is definitely speaking. I dare I say inspiring also. I find you very inspirational. I'm sure our listeners do too. Sorry, so you just said I love that. I have other questions. Did you want to riff off on the elegance part,
No,
or
I'm sorry. I should give you your space to talk, but I got inspired myself. I loved when you talked about simplicity and elegance. I thought that was really powerful. But no, you go ahead.
no, I because I that's all my message is the simplicity. And I do want to talk about a point like psychoaromatherapy and some things that you work with, but I think a lot of us, like going back to the generalist versus the specialist, a lot of us can get so excited and try to make something so complicated to show we know so much. And today I've been reading this one book by I think she's a now retired perfumer. And she wrote, and they're like, some of the most beautiful formulas are very basic. for perfumes. And I'm like, thank you, professional, awesome person that, blended for Hermes and all this stuff. I'm like, there you go. There's the truth is on the table there. We don't have to make it really complicated. And like you're sharing roadmaps for people and giving this great coaching. It's like we don't have to make things so complicated. And I think a lot of us get caught up in the weeds and details.
I agree. I think, I think what happens with that is, and I've done it too, it's just we want to be credible because there is so much junk out there and there's so much misinformation that we want to stand out as the, like, no, I'm actually a professional. Like I can tell you all the science behind this. And I think that's why we get caught up in it. And there's also this fear of not being taken seriously. So we can really, what you said is so true. We can get caught in the weeds of all the details. But here's what I learned, and this was interesting. I went to what was this? This was a PR. This was like a PR workshop, and there were a lot of different people, different professionals in there of people that I serve, a therapist and psychologist and all these people. So I was thinking, okay, I better get my stuff right and make sure I'm, saying things the right way. But it was really the workshop was about getting, public relations, and it was so interesting. Several of them mentioned when it comes to, and we were doing some role plays, and because they were my audience, the person who was running the workshop, she said, what would you feel if Renee said this versus this? And one of them was very complicated and all the technology, technical terms, chemistry and all the words. And the other one spoke to their soul. And they said, we prefer the other one because yeah, we know what you're talking about. We know the lingo. We know all those words we studied. And yeah, it does let us know, oh, this person has kind of a medical background. Oh, I get this. But the other one is the one that made me want to move. The one that made me want to get up, the one that leaned me into the computer screen. So that's another thing I really want to help us all to understand is that the science part, yeah, it's we know that you, we know, but it's not the thing that's going to move people to action. That simplicity that you talked about, the truth behind it, the heart and soul behind it, that's what's going to get people to move.
Yeah, to riff off on that, I remember learning in business writing and communication, and I get flowery with my language because that's me since I was a teenager. But forget the jargon, like you're saying. And one thing I've learned, I love my private practice, and I keep it very private because I see people in my home, and I live in New York City, so I just don't want unvetted people coming into my home. But when you get to just share a cup of tea you made with somebody, and they sit and they're smelling oils, and you just say, "Can you just sit back and pause and tell me how you feel right now?" All that speaks for itself, And there's nothing like I have all my studying and all this stuff, but during my sessions, a lot's really not happening because I'm asking that person to really get in touch with themselves. And to your point, like you're saying, which I also believe, you're trying to touch that person's soul. You're trying to be like, we're here right now with these amazing things, and let's be really sensorial and really tap in there. And like you and I were talking recently, and like for me, it's all about experience. That's what I want to share with people. So that soul touching is, oh, it gives me tingles just talking about it.
I love that. And I love what
Oh.
you're doing in your practice. I think that is beautiful that you help people to just get in touch like that. I think that, and I'm excited. Can I talk about you doing that on bigger places in New York?
Oh yeah, we could talk of another time because I want to
Yeah.
focus on you.
Yeah. It got me excited though, because let me just say this one thing and then we can go back. But I just think it's so important what Amy's saying there because we don't do that enough. We don't, even her just saying that kind of made me lean in and made me just kind of experience what I'm having right here. I've got some oils here. But we don't do that enough to just kind of sit with it. It doesn't have to be complicated. And the result that our clients would get if they were just allowed to kind of sit there and absorb it, I don't know. I think that's really powerful. I'm glad you're doing that.
Oh, thank you. It took me, when it's in front of you the whole time, like you're saying, look to your special gift. What have you been doing forever? It's there the whole time. And like you're saying, you have to focus on it and nurture that. and bring it forth. I mean, like, this seems so simple, but I'm gonna do it. Yay, you know?
I'm gonna try it. Go for it. This is what I feel like doing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there's so much to share. You basically have touched upon this, but I have some other questions just really about, tapping into your, whoa, I just spilled my nettle tea on myself.
No.
Thank goodness I have my dog's blanket right here. I'm not editing this out. Oh. So, you we're talking about, like, you really touched me before when you're talking about reaching people's the soul. Yes, we have like the allopathic, the understanding of the science, and we know there's the mind-body connection with essential oils and other things. And do you have some advice? I'd love to more about, not advice, because but just psycho aromatherapy. And you touched upon it before about your initial clients and your case studies. People were coming back to you with like, wow, I have this chronic illness, but I find I'm not as anxious about this future doctor's appointment. Could you share more about that knowledge? Because I think a lot of us, when we work with oils, still think about I get it all the time. I have a headache. What's good for that? So really to share more about that emotional connection and more of your experience around that.
Yeah, thanks for asking about that. It's what was interesting to that, because we all talk a lot, and I know I talk a lot about being intentional, and you're kind of guiding your client to, okay, this is kind of what we're going for, and of course you're creating that experience to let people let it just happen. But here, I wasn't being intentional. Like I didn't, and I do think that some people feel like, oh, well, that's just what do they call it? Where they just feel like it's you think it's helping you because somebody suggested it, right?
Oh,
So this is
yeah.
why I know that it really does work because I wasn't even going for that. That's not that wasn't the purpose of the program and the remedies that I was helping them with, okay?
Yeah.
It came out of that, and it's exactly that, where it was just like I would be having a session, and over time I just noticed their countenance. And I notice was just lighter. And I notice that, and then we just started having conversations and we're just talking. And I remember one of my clients in particular, she said, I always have, we have a go bag by the door for the emergency room because she was going so frequently. And she said, I knew something was different when I told my husband, you can put that away.
Wow.
And she said, just don't feel afraid. And this was another one who was just afraid to go to sleep at night. She would feel so bad and so sick that she said, I just would feel like if I go to sleep, I'm not going to wake up. And she said, I'm just start to feel that I'm not afraid. I don't know what's going to happen because I still have this illness. It hasn't gone away, but I just am okay with going to sleep. I feel rested and I feel at peace and I'm okay. And she'll just go and go to sleep. And they just start giving me these stories over and over. And then, I'm talking better with my husband. I feel connected to him. I feel more forgiving. I feel, and just in a different space, I can, put my sentences together better. I'm not as much of a thought in a fog. My brother, who had a very serious illness that we knew would probably, take his life, and it did. But the beauty of it was the peace that he had, spiritually first and foremost. But these oils introduced something that really helped him to be calm and helped him to feel, even though he had narcotics, he had to be on, but he needed something like in between. You know what I'm saying? In between when he could use the medication. But the soul level relaxation that it gave him. And even in those last weeks when we were there, we would say, do you want a such and such, there's a particular drug he would take for relaxation, or do you want some, your valerian blend? So we had a blend with that. And he said, oh, give me the oils. And he was just so relaxed, just so relaxed. And I think there was a lot of reasons for that, but these stories are what helped me to say, something way different is going on here. Like this is people are really moving past long-held fears and challenges just by using these on a regular basis. And I don't know too if having a space to talk about, how they're feeling, because similar with my clients, I would say, so how's this week been? How many episodes did you have? This kind of thing. I think there's a combination of just, giving attention to yourself and, having these plants in your life every day and knowing that you have access to them just almost like puts you back in the control seat. And it's pretty remarkable what happens.
Oh my gosh. Renee, and you mentioned this before. I'm sorry for your brother's loss, and it's such a gift to be able to share the oils with somebody, and you sharing that, like, oh no, I'd rather have the valerian blend. It just there's it's you made me feel peaceful when you're talking, and I'm not being disingenuous here. Like anytime, gosh, this is so moving. I'm starting to tear up a bit. When you feel that peace and that touch with somebody, and again, it's so small. It's like this little whisper that comes from the plants, that, and I was writing down deep regulation of the nervous system. There's this chemical messaging that happens with people on so many levels of, yes, neuroendocrine, but it's just so beautiful to give this gift with people and to have the finesse and the education and also the people skills too to help. And like you said, you could call it placebo. Yes, it's part of the therapist conversation, like you said. There's so many levels. And there's so much to touch on here. I wanted to also include that you said this, and I'm a firm believer, consistent use is key. Like on these deep emotional levels, just smelling lavender for 30 seconds once a week is really not going to move you. It'll move you at that moment in time. But to get that real impact, like you're talking about, like you said, it's the routine. And we said that earlier in the conversation. So, see, I can go on forever. I want to pause for any comments you have, but yeah, consistent use, the talking, and the gift of a blend, and sharing ideas and caring and proper usage instructions and applications. Because I don't want to go off on a tangent unless you want to go with me. So many people have oils, they know what they are, but they don't know how to use them. So,
Important.
yeah, I just said a mouthful there, but
I loved everything that you said that I didn't want to interrupt. My
Yeah.
favorite thing that you just said was that whisper from the plants. I'm going to write that down. I just
Yeah.
think that's so beautiful. I think that's so beautiful because that's what it is. You put it so wonderfully. We really have gifts here, and it's important to be able to embrace them and just use them and let it do its thing. So, and I and 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 I and I and I could go on that tangent with you too about how to use it and the safety. And it's so, I just cringe sometimes the things that I hear people do and that I used to do because I didn't know any better,
Yeah, can we go on that tangent too about safety and like self-medicating with essential oils and just taking them in ways that could be really irresponsible? Because yes, there's the whisper, there's this real lovely way of gentle application that goes can move mountains. Like you just shared so many beautiful cases. Like I couldn't go to sleep. I'm afraid to go to sleep. Now someone can go to sleep. This really, can I say it's aggressive way of oils? Like, let me put lemon in my water every morning. I don't
Oh, that's one of my, I hate that one so much.
I get you started?
I'm trying to make way for you because I'm loving everything that you're saying. But yeah, it's so interesting that people, well, I shouldn't say it like that because I was about to say it's so interesting that people think that's okay, but I thought it was okay. I mean, I didn't know. And so you just, when you don't know, when you know better, you do better, right? But we,
Yes.
it's just, there's so much misinformation, and I don't, it's that, it's the lemon water, that's the whole thing. And that's not real lemon water, by the way. I mean, you're putting like a gazillion pounds of lemons in your little water there. And then there was another one. This one person said to me that they were told to put frankincense under their tongue every day.
Oh, every
Every
day.
day. Just take a bit of frankincense and put it under their tongue. And I thought, you have got to be kidding me. And then I had, here's what, this was an interesting one, and I'm still not sure how to feel about this. One of my clients, who is a therapist, a therapist who had had a brain injury, and she said that her neurologist actually used essential oils and did tell her to ingest frankincense every day. I didn't
Frankincense
know what to
oil.
do with that. Yes. I didn't know what to do with that because I just told her, I said, listen, if he's got some kind of reason why he thinks that, I'm not going to go against, I'm going to stay in my lane here. But from what I've learned, I don't, I mean, she did say that he mentioned there's only specific times when you need to do that. But according to her, whatever injury she had, she was, and she said it just made her better. So I don't know. There's all these stories out there, but I would just say, listen, work with a specialist, work with a certified aromatherapist, your healthcare provider, someone who is licensed or certified, and don't go off and self-medicate because it's like this chemical explosion. See, people think that because it's from nature, that you can do anything you want to with it. And that's just not the case. It's not, there's still chemistry. Everything is chemistry, periodic table, basic, go back to the basics. Everything that you touch, feel, see, and don't see, it's all from that, periodic table. So it's still chemistry. It's not toxic, but it's chemistry. But you can make it toxic by using it the wrong way. So it's so important to seek somebody out to really that understands dosage. You know how often you should be having it, what the what how it pairs well with other oils, how it what's happening with your medication. There are a lot of people on medication. There are tons of people on SSRIs. There are certain oils you shouldn't be using if you're taking an SSRI, but who knows about that? You know what I'm saying? You can really cause a problem. I had a client who went, and I think this was one of their case study participants. Anyway, this person was bipolar, and they gave them a blend without looking at the safety, and it sent them into this whole psychotic episode. It was just like, you got to take this seriously and understand that it's not just, oh, let me just, it's oils, it's natural, I can do whatever I want with it. It's they're powerful.
They are. And there's two things I want to just piggyback on that is I hate the phrase there's an oil for that, because that touches on what you're saying. It's like, no, we have to look at who are you, right? Who are you? What's your situation? Like you said, we always ask about any allergies, any medications I should know about. And I don't go deep with my intake anymore unless I need to, but I always ask allergies or medications. I always ask about pregnancy. Like you're saying, and this is a huge soapbox, these oils are so highly concentrated that all you do need is that one drop. And I just have to share this. I've shared it before, but it's still recent enough where I'm friendly with a woman that manages a garden center by where I spend my time at the weekends. And she had several pregnancies. She didn't menstruate for years, because she was pregnant or breastfeeding. And I had tarragon oil, and I gave her a drop on a cotton pad, and she smelled it all day, and she got her period the next day. And that is
Wow.
not bullshit. That is not bullshit. And we know tarragon has estragol in it, which is like hugely impact on the, I'll just say the endocrine system. And like the proof is in the pudding. So when you have a case like that, you're like, yeah, this is serious stuff. This
Yeah.
is really serious.
I'm glad you said that. I'm about to put tarragon on Oh, gosh.
It's important that we're having these conversations and sharing the stories and share case studies and talk about this so we spread the awareness. But yeah, like you're saying, the self-medicating, no, there's not an oil for that. When you really step back, it's about, like I said, you look, who are you? Let me understand who you are in your situation.
That's
Like, oh my God.
important. Yeah, because and don't we all hate it when we go to the doctor's office and there's no individualized approach? You're barely in there 5 minutes and they've ripped open their prescription pad. We don't want to be like that, and just be like, oh, okay, yo, you're good. Just lavender, go grab some, lavender, go grab this, go grab that. We can turn into that if we're not careful. So we got to really you look at the whole person and make sure that we're careful.
Yeah, the individual prescription, as Marguerite Mouret said back in the day, right? So Renee, time really flies, and I think we're coming to the end of our hour together. Wow, like I don't know how that happened. It's so awesome speaking with you. You have so much going on, so many awesome things to share. Is there anything you want to highlight or talk about that's upcoming or currently going that you're super excited about that you want to shout
If
out?
you don't mind, I'm going to mention two things just because I couldn't choose between the two.
Of
And it's
course.
funny, I usually tell my clients, when you're doing these things, only mention one thing. But I'm going to mention two. We have two things coming up. Herbs and oil, the herbs and oils experience. That's going to be just like this ongoing experience. And fortunately, I'm so excited. Amy's going to be a part of that. We're just going to have some people teaching a variety of different pathways to aromatherapy if you're looking for that being a career option. But then the other thing that I feel like I'm more excited about at the moment, just because herbs and oils is going to be around for a good while, we hope. But the client attraction clinic is something I'm hosting in April 2024. I don't know when you're listening to this, but the client attraction clinic is coming up. And what I want to do in that clinic is we're going to have people accomplishing very specific things in their business. It's going to be a working event instead of like a presentation type event. It'll be a working event where you can get like things done, like mission statements and work on that roadmap that we talked about, you know, all those types of things. So that's coming up in April. I don't have the dates in front of me, but if you stay in touch with me or with Amy, you'll be able to get those dates. But that's probably the thing that I'm most excited about that we have coming up.
Well, we'll talk and those we'll put those dates in the show notes and definitely share that. That's really exciting. So thanks for providing that opportunity because you already outlaid a beautiful roadmap during this conversation, but to have that real like sitting down in front of the blank page, if you've never written a mission statement before, this could be a really great opportunity to be like, wow, oh my gosh, I don't know where to start. And then you could have like yourself, you're the co you're helping people get stuff done, right?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty powerful when you get in a room with other people that have similar goals and be talked through the process of doing those different things in your business. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. So, Renee Hughes, it's really been a pleasure. I feel like we could spend hours chatting like over a tea.
Agreed.
So, a shout out to the aroma specialist. Find again, this is in the show notes. So definitely check out Renee's and her team's offerings. Follow her in her socials. Many opportunities and engagement opportunities. So, if you have anything else to share, Renee, please do so. But it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. That's my last thing. I really appreciate you allowing me on the show and just having such a great time and being so open. It's a privilege. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Renee. All right, everyone. As always, thanks for tuning in and ciao for now.